A woman goes to court. She has filed a request for divorce, and the judge asks her what's going on. She replies, "I need to divorce my husband." "Okay," says the judge, "let me start with a few questions." And she goes, "Well, what kind of questions do you have?" And he says, "Well, do you have any grounds?" And she says, "Yes, we have about 5 acres out in the country with a small house." And he says, "No, that's not what I was asking. I meant, what is the foundation of the case?" And she says, "Well, I think the property's made of concrete, brick, and mortar." And he goes, "Well, that's not it. Well, let me ask you this way. Well, then do you have a garage?" And she said, "No, we have a nice carport and a storage shed." Getting frustrated with her, she said, "Let me ask, what are your relations like?" And she says, "Well, I have an aunt and uncle living here in town, and so do my husband's parents." He tried again, "Let me ask you this way, is there any infidelity in your marriage?" "Yes, both my sons and daughters have stereo sets. We don't necessarily like the music, but the answer to your question is yes." "Let me ask you a different question. Do you have any complaints about him?" She says, "Well, like what?" Well, the judge was trying to get very direct, and the judge says, "Well, does he beat you up?" She goes, "No, I'm at least up an hour before him every day." Exasperated, the judge finally asks, "So why do you want a divorce then?" She says, "Well, I don't want a divorce. I never wanted a divorce. My husband does. He says he can't communicate with me." Judge is like, he's just having a hard time with this lady and says, "Well, could you give me an example of why your son's or why your husband's hard to communicate with?" And she says, "Well, I asked him to give me something for my birthday that goes 0 to 100 in 3 seconds. And I was expecting a BMW or Mercedes, but he gave me a weight scale for the bathroom." I think I would want a divorce if that happened. Isn't it amazing when we try to communicate, it's not just the words that matter, it's really the understanding of the words that matter. It's what I've learned in 2.5 years or so of being your pastor is I can have the proper intentions, but if I don't put the proper actions with the words, the intended outcome is probably not going to be possible. Words are not alone enough and able to communicate properly. A lot of Christians, I believe, see the forest of God's word, but struggle with seeing the tree or the thing that God is saying now to them, and vice versa. We've been in a series, if you're visiting today, called The God of Both, and the incredible tension that you find in Scripture when it comes to God's justice and his mercy. And today we're going to talk about the God of both, that he's the God of not just the Logos, but he's the God of the Rhema. And today we're going to talk about the tension between those two and how important it is for you to understand that God is the forest, but he's also the individual tree trying to speak to our lives. And hopefully this will teach you about how to hear God's voice in a unique way where there'll be transformation in your life. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me. I pray that I'll slip away unnoticed and that your word will come forth in power. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. There's really 2 primary words that are used in the original for when God speaks. Again, the Logos and the Rhema. And I'm going to explain to you in a moment where we can find these in Scripture. The Word of God, whether referred to as the Logos or Rhema, is inspired, eternal, dynamic, and miraculous. We have to be careful that we're not living a Christian life or a Christian doctrine that swings to the extremes of each argument. Isn't it amazing how us human beings, when we try to make a correction, we don't necessarily oftentimes correct, we overcorrect. We go from, like, we want to learn the written, inspired Word of God, and we want to place that in our heart. And if we're not careful, we'll end up in a very dry state because we're not understanding that out of his word, he's trying to speak to us specifically about certain things that are in our life, in our church. And if we're not careful, we'll learn how to know about God, but not actually know God. And then on the other side is all you can do is you can chase the Rhema word of God or what God is saying now, and you can end up at a very incorrect, indoctrinal place, living on the extremes of what God is thinking that he's trying to say to you, and your life can walk off the foundation of his word, and both ways will cause you to be lost. So when people, in emphasizing a doctrine, go beyond or contrary to the teaching of Scripture, they do not honor that doctrine. We've seen that in the 90s and 2000s with the prosperity doctrine or the word doctrine or the word of faith doctrine, where it said everyone is going to be healed and everyone is going to be rich and everyone's going to have the big house and the big things. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be prosperous. And we can take that to say that I should go buy a lottery ticket because God wants to prosper me. And if we're not careful, we'll be living with this extreme example of God's prosperity over our life. And to be careful, I don't want to not say this morning that God doesn't want us blessed. He wants his kids blessed. But if we're not careful, we'll go changing the extremes of the word of God to take it away from the foundation that we are supposed to live by. So in short here this morning, logos means the written or established word, that word that we hold in our hands, 66 books of the Bible, that some of you have on your Bible app that you read daily scriptures out of. That is what the Bible, or what we refer to as the logos word of God, the written or established word. But then there's the rhema, the spoken or specific word that God brings out of the rhema to your situation to cause breakthrough in your life. Let me give you some examples of the logos in scripture. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the word. And if you look at the original, it will say the logos word. And that word was with God, and that word was God. Jesus is described as the eternal logos, God's ultimate message for humanity. My pastor growing up would say, never get an arm's length away from John 3:16. Because if you get an arm's length away from John 3:16, you're going to be majoring in minor things and minoring in major things. Our hope this morning as the pastors of this church and leading this congregation is that we don't get an arm's length away from John 3:16. That our primary mission is not to make crowds, it's not to make groups of people. Our primary mission as a church is to go and make disciples. We believe that Josephine County is ripe for a move of God, and we want to have John 3:16, the message of the cross, at the front and center, because it's Jesus that transforms people's lives. If you believe that, give the Lord a big round of applause. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word, the logos word of God, is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It refers to the scriptures that we read being able to cut our intentions from our actions and to show us in areas of our life that we need growth. I'm thankful that we serve a God that sends his Holy Spirit to us that does not leave us where he found us. If you are the same person that you were when you came to Jesus, might I suggest to you that you found religion and not a savior? You might have found rules and regulations, but not a relationship with Jesus. The Lord will not just tell you what to say, he'll tell you when not to say. He'll tell you when to speak and when not to speak. And the Holy Spirit, being the person in our life that brings perfect peace, is allowed to, through his Holy Spirit, use God's word to be sharper than any double-edged sword. Matthew 7:24 says this, everyone who hears these words, these logos of mine, and puts them into practice is like a wise man. How many want to be a wise man or woman in this room? I want to be a wise man. So I got to get in my word and I got to study scripture. So we learn that there are certain times when the word of God is referenced in scripture that it's referring to the logos word, the person of Jesus and the written words that are found in scripture. We also learn that sometimes when it's referencing the word of God in the original uses this word called rhema. Romans 10:17 says it like this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or the rhema of Christ. So faith is not just stirred by reading scripture, but when God's word comes alive, spoken and received in our heart. Do you know that there are demons, there are demonic presences, there are people that are antichrist that know more of the word of God than some Christians do? So the measure of God's activity in our life is not how much scripture we know, but it's how much obedience we're walking in. And so a lot of people know the logos word of God, but they don't know the rhema or the activated word of God in their life. Listen to what Luke 1:38 says. Mary's response to the angel, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your rhema. What she recognized is that there is a forest of God's word, but then there is, in that forest, there is a tree where God is speaking directly to me. She received what? A personal, specific promise from God. That is the rhema, word of God. Ephesians 6 and 17 says it like this, that we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The word of God. And in this instance, the word that's used there in the original is the rhema, word of God. Or the spoken word becomes a weapon in spiritual battle, declared, not just read. We can use the sword of the Spirit in our life to be able to fight off the attacks of the enemy and life that's in our lives. Let me give you a key distinction. The Logos is foundational, scriptural, doctrinal, and it's Jesus himself. The Rhema is personal and timely, a word that is freshly spoken to your spirit, often based on the Logos, but applied directly to your situation. I believe what we did out of the 90s and 2000s when we ran away from the out of doctrine or in air doctrine of the word of faith is we run and we swing to the other side of the pendulum, where now a lot of preaching that happens in America is dry and stale because we're trying to describe the forest to the people and we're not describing what God is saying to the people. The kind of church and the kind of believer that you want to be a part of is the one that radically balances and stands on God's word as our foundation, but isn't scared of saying, Lord, we give you permission to, out of your word, speak to us what we're supposed to be doing in our season that we're together. I want to have a church that stands on the Logos and is looking for the Rhema, or the timely word of God. Let me give you an example. Peter walking on water in Matthew chapter 14. Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus replies with a single word. What does he reply with? He says, come. That word was a rhema word exactly and only for Peter. If all of the disciples were to jump out of the boat at that time and start to walk, what would have happened to those disciples? They would have sunk. Why? Because the rhema word was not intentioned for them. It was intentioned for Peter. Had someone else tried it without the rhema, they would have sunk. This example highlights two things when we go to scripture. One is the Logos word of God tells us that miracles are still in operation in our world today. God is still a God of miracle. I believe, standing on this platform as your pastor, that in a moment, God can deliver and heal Terry Barber of that cancer. I believe it. That might make me a fool. It might make me someone that doesn't believe in science completely. No, I believe in science in the medical field, but I also believe that there is a name that's higher than every name, and that's the name of Jesus. I believe that. And let me tell you why I believe that. It's because my beautiful wife that leads us in worship most Sundays, the doctor said that she had months to live. And they weren't wrong. Cancer developed in her body. Spleen removed. Biopsy detected that there was cancer. And when they went to go retest, the cancer was gone. Because we serve a God that does miracles. That's the Logos. The Logos, written word of God, says in the book of Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed. Now the great mystery that we all walk under is why God heals some at some times and others not at other times. And oftentimes what we do is we allow the circumstances of our lives to be in a higher place than the word of God in our lives. And there is this tension that we have to live under as believers, as knowing that we stand on God's word on one side and we faithfully anticipate his doing or in operation of his word on the other side. That our timing is not his timing. Our ways are not his ways. And so what we have to do is not stand and try to do things for God, but stand in the middle of those things and say, God, you're in control and I trust you. It's a beautiful thing when God's peace is in the hospital room. When I went and saw Terry this last week, I walked in there and they couldn't have had worse news and a worse week, but you walk in and the sweet presence of God's in a room, because why? We recognize that Terry and Barb aren't in control of their life, God is. And when you find yourself at that place, standing in the middle of God's will, you begin to see not what's happening to you, but what is allowed to happen through you. The first response that I walk into to Terry that it was so inspiring to me. If I find myself in a position where there was bad news all around me, I wouldn't feel bad shedding a few tears and feeling sorry for myself, but not Terry. You walk into Terry and Terry says, I've got to preach the gospel to 3 nurses this week. Because why? There is something about when God's kids are on assignment, they recognize that this world is not their home. Grants Pass is not my home. Vacaville is not my home. Marysville, Yuba City area is not my home. Do you know where my home is? Heaven. And it's our job as believers to allow our home, heaven, to invade this earth. And we do that because we understand that we stand on the Logos and we anticipate, highly anticipate, the Rhema, the spoken word of God in our lives. The Bible is the Logos. And when God quickens a word from the Logos, it becomes Rhema. Now, for those of you that are new to the faith, I'm using a lot of spiritual hyperbole and religious terms that I might have lost you. So let me explain this in a new way, that God doesn't just have things for you, he has something for you. He doesn't just have rules on a board that he's gonna teach you, he has a transformed heart that he wants to give you. And it's not just about the world, it's about you. That you walked into this room this morning and you're on a search and you've tried it all. You've tried money, you've tried things, you've tried sex, you've tried drugs, you've tried manipulation, you've tried hurt, you've tried trauma, you've tried it all, and at the end of it you feel more empty than when you started. I would like to welcome you to the club of not recovering people, but recovered people, because that's where Jesus found us. You are no different than us. You might have tried it a different way. You might have done certain things a different way. You might have done more than us, done left of us. But the reason why we know that there can be an end to your searching is because there was an end to our searching. Do you remember when you were hopeless? Do you remember when you were down and out? Do you remember when you were in the muck and mire and God found you? I am thankful that God doesn't just say, hey, I'm done seeking and finding who may be saved. I'm thankful this morning that he's got eyes on a congregation, eyes on a community, that this week we can go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus and say, not only do we believe in the Logos word, but we believe in the timely word that God is here for you right now. I'm thankful that we live and serve a God like that. Matthew 4:4 is an excellent example of how God uses the Rhema. Here's what he says. Word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Look to your neighbor and say, every word. That word is Rhema, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. To a prophetic ear or a faith-filled ear, there is nothing worse than stale preaching and teaching. Yesterday's word, yesterday's anointing, yesterday's what God said yesterday. There's nothing that kills momentum or revival of a church about talking about what God did in the 90s or 2000 or 2010s. There's nothing worse than talking about or living upon obedience that was yesterday. It will ruin your kids. It will ruin your grandkids. It will ruin the future of a church if you hold on to what God did yesterday. And we all know that. We actively live that in the church. If I'm not careful, we'll talk about last season as though God's approving of us in this season. And what I am here to tell you is that there is something brewing in the prophetic future of Parkway that we have to get our eyes above what has happened in the past, whether it's relationship or whether it's moves of God or whether it's how he used to do it yesterday, that if you will look and lift up your eyes past yesterday, what you will see is you will see a harvest field that is ripe for harvest, not tomorrow, but today. Today. We should all love and study the word. We should be daily students and walking in obedience of what God has done. Believers should study, we should know, we should be able to rightly divide the word of truth. But I believe the Holy Ghost believer doesn't just study and know knowledge, but they release victory and the Rhema of God. When we use Rhema, we mean a specific word from the Lord that applies to us individually. No true Rhema spoken by a present day believer will be in conflict with the Spirit and the context of Logos. Could you imagine living in the early church and trying to doctrinally understand how a shadow of a believer saves or healed somebody? Or how I can send a handkerchief, and on that handkerchief, the anointing, when it touched a person, healed somebody. Doctrinally, how can you wrap that around other than God has a way of inviting his people on an adventure that what he says in his logos gets displayed in various ways as faith attaches itself and miracles begin to happen. I want to be part of a church that does not just read about Acts and say, I want to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of the church that when they look at the read and read the book of Acts, they say, I am a part of that kind of church. I am seeing life transformation happening all around me. And I believe that happens when we understand that God logos, his logos word, gets released in rhema form to the world around us. Let me take a step further here. The logos is like a well of water. And the rhema is a bucket of water from that well. The logos is an entire piano, and the rhema is one note sounding forth from it. If the logos is like the whole human body and the rhema is one of the body's members performing a particular function, I believe that God is not just the God of the logos, but he's the God that uses the rhema. I believe if the logos is the full courtroom transcript, the rhema is the judge's verdict spoken directly to you. If the logos is the full basketball game that you sit and watch, then the rhema is the highlights and the score that you get to see at the end. I love how God will even use people that don't even know the whole logos to release the rhema. I love how new Christians have more faith than some of us that know what Scripture says. I love it because they'll read a part of it and say, if God says it, I believe it and he'll do it. And what we have to understand this morning as Parkway, this week, this is my cheer, cheer, rah, rah message for us today. As Parkway this week, God gave us a rhema word, and the rhema word comes out of Mark 16:15. Here's what it says. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they might recover. Is that what it says? It says they will recover. The logos, the written word of God, says that we as the church have a mission, and the mission is to go reach the community or the valley or the region that God has placed us in. Now the rhema comes along in a moment and speaks to a pastor's heart and speaks to the leader's heart. And this is how the Lord spoke to me several weeks ago, that I believe that 2025 could be the greatest soul winning year that Parkway has ever seen. I believe it. I believe that's what God wants to release in this valley through this church. That the growth that God's about to give the kingdom of God through Parkway is not going to be transitional growth from church to church. If you're here from another church, we welcome you. We're glad that you're a part of us, but we believe that the aim of what God is doing through us in our community is to go reach the person, the lost, the lonely, bruised and broken person, and if we'll go and we'll invite them, people's lives are going to be changed forever, because the gospel is not something that just has worked. It is working, and if we will bring people and share our faith and share what God is doing, the logos becomes the rhema, and it's in the rhema that lives are transformed. And if you believe that God wants to transform a community, would you give him the biggest round of applause you've given him in a long, long time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the God of both. Pastor, you telling me not to study my word? No, I'm telling you the exact opposite. I'm telling you to get in your word, because when you get in your word, you're going to pause on a scripture and the Holy Spirit's going to say, stop there. And the Holy Spirit's going to use that moment to touch something that's on the inside of you that's going to change your life forever. There are a lot of people that have encountered religion, if I could be really honest. There's a lot of people that have encountered the ways of church and the ways of and programs of church, but they have not yet encountered the alive word of God. And I am telling you, my life changed. My life changed, not when I became a member of a church. Not because I went to a class where they taught me about God. My life changed and is changing when I get in the presence of God and I read his word and I worship. And I find a place at an altar, and that altar could be up front, it could be in your chair, it could be on your drive to work. But when I find a moment with the Heavenly Father And I pray prayers, dangerous prayers like this. Lord, if you're really real, Lord, if I can get next to you, if I can just spend a few moments, Lord, would you change me? Would you help me become a better husband and father? Would you help me become a better pastor? Would you help me become a better colleague? Lord, would you help me become a better coach? God, would you take whatever this is that has been broken down by this sin-sick world, by my own decisions, by my own actions, by other people's actions, Lord, would you take this and would you use it as a vessel for your glory? When I begin to pray dangerous prayers like that, Lord, I want to know you like I've never known you before. I want to hear from you like I've never heard you before. I want to sense you like I've never sensed you before. I want to feel you like I've never felt you before. Lord, I don't want your presence to be something that I have to squint and see if you're there, Lord. I want your obvious, tangible presence to be part of my life, my church's life. And Lord, I'm going to do it and I'm going to run towards you. You've already ran towards me. I'm going to run towards you. When that kind of heart hits a body of believers, the devil starts shaking in his boots. Because what gets released is not all the answers right away. But what gets released is the passion and the pursuit of God's presence. And it's in the passion and pursuit of God's presence that people's lives get changed. Because God says that he is a rewarder of what? Those who diligently seek him. And if you want to know God, if you want to get the answers that you're after, we might not get them on this side of heaven, but we're going to get them. If you want to get to the person and place of the presence of God, the Word of God says, the Logos says, that I'm going to reward those who find themselves in diligent pursuit of my presence. Lord, I've been trying to track you down my whole life. And I realize that you're just always a prayer away. But I want to seek you. I want to find you. The Bible gives one caveat. What does the Bible say? It's when you do so with your what? Divided people don't catch God. It's people that say, there's nothing in this world that I want more than him. I want him more than my money. I want him more than my prestige. I want him more than my popularity. Like, I want God's presence more than I want hundreds of people in my church. I want God's presence more than a title before my name. I want God's presence before any accolades that I'll ever... You understand what I'm saying this morning? If you want God's presence, it's going to cost you your whole heart. Men, we know what it's like to chase things. Most men in America that are red-blooded, we know what it's like to go all in. When we want something, we go get it. Most of us in this room, if we want something, do we go get what we want? Most men do that. We know what it's like to go all in, the hunter-gatherer in us. We go find the career, we go find the sport, we go find the scholarship we wanted to go play college athletics. We knew what it took. But are you willing as a man to chase like that after him? The question for the men in the room is what good does it do you? What profit does it do you to gain the whole world? And not just lose your soul. That to me, as a man, it's really simple for me to say, like, Lord, I'll trade my life and have some of this heroic kind of thinking. But men, don't you listen to me. What does it profit us to gain the whole world but our sons and our daughters don't make heaven? Our spouses don't feel supported. What is the stat? If a woman comes to the Lord and comes to church, the likelihood of the family following is like 1 in 10. But if the husband or the leader of the home comes to church, the likelihood of the home being underneath the guise and spiritual direction of the Lord is like 80 out of 100. Man, I'm talking as a challenge to us not to condemn. Not to bring shade on your life. What I'm telling you is there is a man of God in you that in this moment God's telling that man of God to stand up. There is a woman of God in this room. Woman of God, you cannot have a divided heart. You can't say that I want to hold on to the hurt, but I also want freedom. You can't say that I want the unforgiveness, yet I want to be whole. Woman of God in this room, you can't say that I want my pain and my rejection, but also I want to be 100%. No, God says if you seek me, you got to seek me and be willing to give it all up. And what I so love about our Heavenly Father is this great exchange that happens in our lives. He doesn't just say, give me what you have and leave you empty-handed. He says, bring your brokenness and I'll make you whole. Bring your sickness and I'll be your healer. Bring your situation and I'll be your way maker. Because the God that we serve doesn't just give us a platform of the logos to live by. He also gives us the rhema where he'll speak into your life in a moment. And that's the God we serve. The God we serve doesn't just fix your broken heart. Doesn't just fix your broken perspective. The Bible says in Ezekiel, he gives you a brand new heart. And the kind of believers that I want to be around this week, I want to go on a search. When it starts Friday morning, starts Wednesday when we come to set up this week, when Friday we go to our Good Friday service and Saturday is one of our biggest outreach days that we're going to have all year, Dave, you know what kind of attitude I want us to have? Who's next? Who's next? Who in this room is God going to set free from a life that you've been waiting for the answer? And I'm here to tell you the answer is not found in a church, organization, a religious institute. The answer is found in the person and relationship of Jesus Christ, led by this wonderful Holy Spirit. If it's been a while since you've forgotten, the greatest danger that happens in the church is we forget who the source and where the source of our freedom comes from. Our freedom doesn't come from a pastor. It doesn't come from a congregation. Those things are great and wonderful and valuable, and we should be a part of those things. But our source has to be Jesus. That person. You're here this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You say, Pastor, there's something going on the inside of me that says, man, if this Jesus that you're really speaking about wants to have a personal relationship with me, there's something inside of me that says, yes, I'm going to give my heart, not to a religion, not to an exercise of an institution, but I'm going to give myself to the person of Jesus. And the Bible says that he's going to, unless one is born again, There's a transformation of perspective and choices. Unless you're born again where you say, it's Jesus, he's the answer to my life. I believe right now there's an anointing in this room that is the rhema, that God is going to start today by bringing people home into proper relationship with his Heavenly Father. You're here this morning. It's been months or years since you've been in church. Maybe you got invited by a friend or a neighbor. And you say, Pastor, this morning I need to make sure that my heart is right with the Lord. I want to make sure that I absolutely know that I'm going to make heaven my home. Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed all across this room, giving people privacy. The moment you say, Pastor, it's me, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Would you stretch up your hand and put it right back down so I can see it? Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand in the back, sir. Thank you. I see your hand over here. Thank you, young man. Thank you. I see your hand over here, yes. Anybody else? I see your hand, young lady. Hallelujah. Anybody else, while I'm looking across this audience, I want to make sure that I know who I'm praying for. Yes, young man, I see your hand in the back. Thank you. Yes, Lord. I see your hand. Thank you, woman of God. The Lord has a way, I don't know why the faucet gets turned on sometimes and doesn't. I look across this room today and I just want you to know we've been praying for every one of you that just walked into this room. We've been praying for you since we got here. 2.5 years ago. We've been praying that God would bring people just like you to hear the message of the cross and know that there's hope. It's the reason why our family's here. It's the reason why this church family's here. It's because we believe that God is still in the miracle-working business. Parkway, I want you to look at me now because we're gonna pray for these that just raised their hand. There's about 10 or so that raised their hand this morning. I want you to know something, that as a pastor, it's my job to try to release and go after the rhema word of God, what God is saying for our congregation. Would you please listen to me? But I cannot do it alone. I told you a couple months ago, you got to invite your neighbor. You got to invite your coworker. You got to be on mission. And if you will ask your grandsons and your granddaughters and your children, if they've been out of church, if you will ask them, I believe that there's a window of an opening where God's favor is going to rest on this congregation. And I'm telling you, just like people are being drawn to the Lord right now, your family members, your coworkers, your friends are going to be drawn to the Lord. And I believe, I want you to hear my heart, there's going to come a day, not too very in the distant future, I'm talking like weeks or months, where all we might do on Sunday mornings is have people get up and share their testimony and we give altar calls for the lost. You hear my heart? If God says that we are in the season where we can see the greatest harvest that we've ever seen in the history of Parkway, if we do not give ourselves to the rhema word of God, we are going to be walking in disobedience. And so I need you, like with everything inside of me, I need you to understand that there is a moment happening in our church right now. Go find somebody that does not know Jesus. Book a tea time with somebody that you know that you've had an acquaintance with a while ago. Offer them a steak dinner. Headlock them. Get them to church on a Sunday morning. And I will commit to you as your pastor that we are going to give not just an altar call. We are going to give altar calls in the coming weeks where people are going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. So listen, you raised your hand this morning. It wasn't by accident that you're here today. I'm looking at all the people that raised their hand this morning. It is not by accident that you're here this morning. When God started tugging on your heart in my office and through your wife, and people don't even know who I'm talking about, but you know who I'm talking about. God started tugging on your heart weeks ago because there was an appointment that he wanted to have with you with a transformation in your heart and your life. God is getting ready to do things that you've prayed for in private are now going to become public because God is in a season of answering that prayer in your life, sir. I believe it. I believe all across this room. Young lady, God's got a plan for your life. I know there's been hard times where you can't see it and you don't know it, but you're here this morning not by chance or not by accident. I don't even know who you are, but I know that God's got a plan for you. There's praying family members around you that today's an appointment for your life and transformation's going to happen. So this morning, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this prayer, I want you to hear me, that doesn't save you. It's the belief in the prayer and the confession of your life that says, I am now not going to live with a divided heart, but I'm going to live wholeheartedly for Jesus. And I'm going to do whatever I can in my purpose and my plan for my life is, Lord, I'm going to become a seeker of you in your presence. So would you pray this prayer after me? Would everyone put your hand on your heart this morning in Parkway? If you prayed a prayer like this before, would you pray it now so we can add faith in the room or those that are praying it? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, this morning I recognize my need of you. I recognize in my life that I've searched in a lot of different areas. But this morning I declare I found the answer. And the answer is you. I'm not asking you just to become Savior. I'm asking you to become Lord. And I'm going to ask you to become my baptizer. Would you say, Jesus, would you send your Holy Spirit to fill me to a place of overflowing? I need you in my life. I recognize I need you in my life. Jesus, I thank you for what you did on that cross. I thank you what you did in the tomb. You conquered the cave so that I didn't have to live in mine, that I could have freedom and victory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a big shout of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you guys stand to your feet this morning? I know we went a little bit longer this morning, but man, people are coming to Jesus. If you raised your hand this morning, I want to invite you. Where's Pastor Jim? Pastor Jim Kent's over there. Could you come stand right over here? Where's John Anderson? Would you come just stand right up here? Oh, Misty's right there. There she is. If you raised your hand and you're saying, Pastor, I really genuinely want to know about the next steps of this wonderful life, would you come, would you just take a walk and find one of these people, introduce you? They're some of the most friendly people we have. So if these aren't friendly, then don't look to the neighbor to the left or right of you, because they're probably not friendly. But would you come and would you find some of these members of our Yes team? And we want to let you know that we're here for you in this wonderful journey. But Parkway, would we take 60 seconds right now? Brooke, would you come grab this microphone? And you can even stand down here. You don't have to come on the platform. But I want you to pray specifically for our weekend. I want you to pray for the Good Friday service, the outreaches, the Sunday Easter service. And I want you to pray that all week that we're going to be on mission of what God's called us to do. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? And after Brooke prays, you guys are going to be dismissed to go.
Can you just stretch your hands up if you're going to believe this with me? Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this valley. God, I thank you for this body of believers, Lord God, that you've put us on mission this week. God, you've set eternity in all of our hearts today, Lord God. And I just pray, God, that the Rhema word would leave with us today, Jesus. That there is a valley that needs you, God. And that you have set us in this place, in this time, God, for this Easter weekend. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would anoint every person in this room to be a vessel of your goodness, of your grace, God, to share the good news, that we would not just wait for Easter, that we would just not wait for Good Friday, but we would tell somebody today of what you have done. God, that you have conquered the grave. Lord, that you have risen. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for what you're about to do this weekend. I pray that your Rhema word would go forth today, God, that we would talk to the person at Walmart, Lord God, that we would talk to the person that was changing our oil, that we would share your good news with our dentist, with our coworker this week, Lord God, that they would come. Lord, we are believing that 2025, God, is going to be the year that Parkway has never seen a harvest of souls. We thank you in Jesus' name.
The altar call this morning is not in here. It's out there. You got the greatest mission field outside those four glass doors. Let's go win someone for Jesus this week. And we'll see you Friday. Good Friday service, 7:30 if you can make it. If you guys need prayer or anything, we got prayer warriors up here. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you guys tonight, 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall.